All right. Welcome to another episode of the Internet Show. I'm Dylan Eckes. I'm here with my co-host as usual, Shane.
Hi.
How you doing, man?
Good.
We're not doing notes today? We're not doing notes today.
Okay.
No, we're not doing reads. I didn't want to do reads. We have too important of a guest. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you
very much. Lindsay Clark is in studio with us. She is running for mayor of Medicine Hat. Lindsay, thanks so much for doing this. Before we get started, why don't you tell the listeners who you are, what you do, a little bit of about yourself and your background.
Sure. My name is Lindsay Clark and I'm running for mayor of Medicine Hat. I grew up here. I started, I was born in Oyen, Alberta, actually, and then grew up on a farm halfway between Oyen and Capon, or sorry, in the Capon area, halfway between Oyen and Vine Loss.
Okay.
So it was in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I have like a big family, 5 kids. So we kept each other busy.
Yeah.
And then we moved to Medicine Hat when I was 8. And I went to Crestwood School and then Alley J and Hat High before going to get my science degree mm-hmm. in Lethbridge and then my law degree in Victoria.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then I worked in Vancouver for about 10 years before mm-hmm. moving back home.
Right on.
Yeah.
So what do you do now with the, you were with the city, right? Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I am a solicitor with the city. That's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been with the city for about 4.5 years.
Okay.
And then I decided to take an unpaid leave to run for mayor.
Okay.
Yeah. When she told me that earlier, I was like, that's nuts. Like, so, you know, that's how you know that it means something to you, right? You know? So that's really cool.
So like why that. The run for mayor?
That's a great question. I have for the last couple of years just felt that we could do a better job of showing leadership for everyone mm-hmm. and treating everyone in the city like they're somebody, mm-hmm. they're, whether it's in the planning department or whether it's kids going skating. Everybody in this city matters mm-hmm. and we should act accordingly. We really are, as a city, in the service business. Mm-hmm. We provide all kinds of services. Mm-hmm. And so we should take that approach when we're dealing with the people of the city. Mm-hmm. And everybody deserves to be treated with fairness and respect and equality.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of it. And then a little bit recently, we have had questions about how our neighborhoods are going to look in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to look a certain way. And right. I think this council is maybe has a different vision for mm-hmm. our neighborhoods. So I would like to see our recreation facilities stay within our neighborhoods. That's really our broader home.
Mm-hmm.
We are a city, but then yeah. within that we have, you know, our families and then mm-hmm. our neighborhoods.
Right.
And I remember walking the Crestwood Pool from Crestwood School for gym class to the mm-hmm. Moose Rec Center for gym class, like skating,
right.
going public skating at the Kimplex. And those are really important foundational community facilities. They do provide that recreation that's so important to our physical and mental health, in addition to the wonderful parks we have.
Mm-hmm.
But also they provide a place to socialize and for our community to meet together. I think we could probably use them better for that piece of it.
Right.
Make sure like people know you can meet here. The Kimplex social room is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
They have that room there
yep.
for clubs to meet, or you could have a community party there.
I had no idea about that.
No,
yeah. No, I didn't know you could hold social rooms.
That's yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
surprise.
Now you know. Now you know.
Surprise. Now you're going to be partying in the yeah. social and that again, that socialization with our communities is so important to mm-hmm. our community and mental health and a feeling of belonging
right.
in your community.
Right.
So yeah.
Kind of keeping that small town feel in the city, right?
Yeah.
And kind of keeping those communities built and, you know, keeping that wholesomeness and having everyone engaged and, you know, especially in these trying times with COVID, kind of rebuilding and all that fun stuff. Yeah, I think that's an excellent way to think of this. And your vision on this is pretty great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I always thought it was counterproductive because, like, when you think of, I lived in Calgary and Edmonton. I don't know what it was like in Vancouver, but even in Calgary and Edmonton, you would have your communities, right? You in Edmonton, you'd have your Clairview, your Millwoods, your Terwilliger. They'd have all those facilities there, right? You wouldn't even have to leave your neighborhood, really leave your neighborhood. So, and then when we think about, you know, the fact that the Moose and the Hounds and the Kinplex and all these other, they're not being maintained, they're not being taken care of, our parks aren't being taken care of. Yeah, it does raise some questions. Why aren't we creating more community and building these amenities up so we can have more people come to them? We can build our community, like you said, rebuild our community, especially through COVID, right? So
yeah, and I mean, I just want to make the point that like we're in a place where we're small geographically with a decent amount of people in here, and like our community has done wonders for us. So we can't be more thankful. Like we have a wonderful community, what it is. And to lose that would be devastating for the city.
Yeah. And the city morale, right?
That's right. Yeah. Like absolutely. we just rally behind good causes so well together. It's amazing to see.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And there's been more research recently on the value of a livable community and how important that is to human and community health, even economic health, because people actually have to want to live in your town to work in your town. Mm-hmm. And build businesses, but we haven't really caught up to that in a way, because even the way we design our communities, that's, we're now looking at that, taking another look. There's a lot of research out there to suggest we should not be, you know, sprawling the way we are for many reasons. And that each, like we were talking about, each community should have its own center.
Yeah, and a good point behind that, just to kind of hammer home your point, when we're talking about mental health therapists and doctors and, you know, pretty important people in a community, it's not a selling point for a lot of these people to come here. So if we can't create that, I guess, that dynamic space for a certain demographic that are pretty important for our city to run smoothly, it is hard to, you know, kind of fall through on other visions.
Yeah. And so many of our doctors and just our workforce in general are now new Canadians. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not a new Canadian, maybe you're from the East Coast or somewhere else, and you have to create a welcoming community for people.
Yeah.
Like I can't imagine going to a whole new city by myself, a whole new country by myself and feeling alone, you know, that's not healthy. And I'm probably not going to stay there.
Yeah. Right. Like think of the time that you went to college when you moved to Victoria. I don't know if you had family there or anything like that, but how did you feel when you initially left?
Mm-hmm. I cried.
Yeah. It's terrifying. When I moved to Lethbridge, I didn't know a soul. Yeah. Got a dog.
Yeah.
Right away.
You know, what was fascinating about moving to those big cities or bigger cities and different communities is, when I lived in Calgary, I lived downtown Calgary. I lived in a condo complex that was 3 blocks to the gym, 5 blocks to my work, and everywhere else downtown. And I never had to drive out of downtown unless I was going home Medicine Hat. But I created friendships in downtown. I created relationships with people. I networked there. And to touch on your point, yeah, we don't see that in our communities. It's really weird because like we have our like Dunmore area. We have a little bit now in Crescent Heights, and especially with them expanding the leisure center and the Kenalta Center, we're probably going to see more amenities up there, different sources of entertainment, restaurants, that sort of thing. But it's very segregated, the communities, you know, and that's just from, I've lived here my whole life. You've lived here your whole life. It's wild to see that we're still doing that. You know, it's 2021. We're almost 30 years old. And it's just like, holy moly, like, what are we doing? You know, it's kind of bass backwards, you know what I mean? Yeah, so. Totally. But you touched on, and what we touched on here on the podcast is leadership, community, how men can be leaders within our community. I want to touch on the leadership aspect. What is something that's missing from leadership today in the council at the city of Medicine Hat?
So, in my platform, I talk a lot about good governance. I don't call it that, but that transparency, accountability, public participation. Right. Those are the three key elements of good governance. And in order to have those elements met, they're fundamental to our democracy, fundamental to our public participation. You have to have a desire to hear from your community, and you have to have a desire to be inclusive of all of the community members, because like I totally get it's tough people sometimes are mean and they sometimes complain. Mm-hmm. And I can see how that could like cause, you know, you kind of shell in or wall mm-hmm. in and just like, I don't want to hear from you. You guys are mean, mm-hmm. but it's such a small percentage of the population. It's just like,
they're on just Facebook the loudest. Yep.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
But they are really loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have to find ways to reach out to our community mm-hmm. and to genuinely try and understand what our community wants and needs. And that helps us with our finances even, because to me, it feels like right now we're taking a shotgun approach to what we spend money on. Mm-hmm. But when you have,
yeah, so true.
But when you have clear priorities, like source from your community, what are our priorities? Like recognize we can't afford everything. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. just like you would with your family budget. So these are our priorities. And then it becomes real clear what does that drive towards this goal? Does that spend drive towards this goal? And if it doesn't, then you know, you have to really question whether you should be spending that money.
Making those tough decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. And also in terms of leadership, we have an incredible group of nonprofits and clubs and all sorts of things. This campaign has really enlightened me on all of the amazing organizations that yeah. we have in the city.
Yeah.
But what I've been hearing is that the city hasn't really taken a leadership approach or any leadership with respect to, you know, contributing to those organizations. And it doesn't have to be money always, mm-hmm. but just saying, we think this is important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's all get together and figure out some solutions. Because most of the time, this like mental health, one of them, the city's not going to be the expert mm-hmm. at mental health. But we have really cool organizations. We have, you know, our the private practitioners in the mental health area, as well as AHS, and you guys.
Mm-hmm. That's so, right. Yeah.
mm-hmm. So why don't we work together to not necessarily coming in with the idea like this is the solution, mm-hmm. but get everybody together and set a goal. Mm-hmm. And then figure out how together we can accomplish
work
it.
As a collective.
Oh. Yeah.
That would mean communication and leadership. I want to hammer home that leadership, because you've mentioned a few things is the lack of transparency and people being mean and upset at other people. Well, that's comes with the role of leadership. When I think of leadership, whether it's CEOs, management, directors, community, city council, that sort of thing, you're going to step on toes that you don't mean to step on just because of opinion. It really comes down to the greater good of the city and the best interests of those involved within the community. And if those involved with the best interests of the community aren't involved, well, then we have a problem, right? One of the things that we've seen for the last year is vulnerable sectors. So low income, people on age, people struggling with their mental health, addicts. It's almost like they're just lost. And in Medicine Hat, one of the questions that I sent you today was, do we have a problem with that in Medicine Hat? Because from our perspective and the people what we see and deal with and help, that does seem to be a real issue that's growing substantially in the city of Medicine Hat, is the homeless, addiction, the mental health crisis going on. And those people are kind of being forgotten about.
I see that a little bit, but I would definitely defer to you guys and other people who are, you know, on the ground working with people,
right?
Because we are, as a city, we're not detached, but we're not on the ground level working with, right. you know, mm-hmm. people who are struggling with drug use or substance use, people who are experiencing housing insecurity. We will, to a certain extent, for example, like if you can't pay your utility bill or you're not paying your taxes, mm-hmm. then it's a glimpse that maybe you're experiencing some tough times. Mm-hmm. And of course the downtown we experience it as, you know, complaints that people found a needle or complaints
yeah. that hotspot areas
loitering. Mm-hmm. But that's something that, again, the business community has a stake mm-hmm. in solutions to our mental health crisis and substance use crisis. Mm-hmm. So I think, like when we talked
about, can you explain that for the people yeah. that are listening, what that actually means? Because I know what that means, but some people might be thinking, well, what exactly does having a stake in this solution mean?
Yeah. So A lot of the downtown business owners, and I have to say, I personally haven't felt unsafe mm-hmm. downtown, but I do hear people say that they have felt unsafe downtown, and that they find like needles or they feel uncomfortable with people loitering in front of their business. They think that that's deterring people from coming into their business. Mm-hmm. There's a perception that downtown is from some people that downtown is like it's a bit of a intimidating place to go. Mm-hmm. So that hurts downtown business, mm-hmm. even just the perception of it that's hurts right. downtown.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So if we want to have a real vibrant downtown, mm-hmm. that's something that we're going to have to address.
Right.
And the business community has a full stake in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it would be collaborating with the businesses in the downtown area, with the professionals in the mental health fields to come up with a game plan on how we can help vulnerable sectors, help people with addictions, help people in poverty, help people in age or low income housing, and get them the needed help that they need. Because I like what you said about growing the city's economy. And in my perspective, when as a financial advisor, I look at things from the money side of things too, is if we can have a nice, wealthy community, we can help as many people as we can. And so my question is, how do we bridge that gap? How do we bridge the gap right now? If we see, and as a financial advisor, again, I've seen the gap between low income and people of higher middle class, right? So how do we bridge that gap in terms of teaching and educating the lower income people, but also providing the economic stability for those groups?
Can you expand on teaching and educating the lower income groups?
Well, here's a great perspective is we've had a couple of gentlemen and peer talk about on our drop-in groups. We've had people talk about the upcoming election, how it's really important. Like exactly what you said, we need transparency. We need community growth. We need this X, Y, and Z. And there'll be four or five guys that have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah. They're not aware of.
They have no idea what we're talking about.
Of everything. Yeah. Not so much that they're uneducated people. They are, mm-hmm. It's just a matter of they're not well-versed in what's going on in their communities.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was thinking almost even in the other way, doing some outreach and education to help people realize that just because someone doesn't look like you mm-hmm. or their clothes aren't brand new, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that they're scary people.
Mm-hmm.
That mm-hmm. just means that maybe they are experiencing housing insecurity mm-hmm. for like any number of reasons.
Right.
And that's why I think it's really important for us to realize and recognize that people experiencing housing insecurity, people who are struggling with substance use, are not a uniform group.
Mm-hmm.
They're just as diverse an individual as all of,
totally.
All of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And even if you look at the difference between struggling with meth addiction versus opioids, mm-hmm. those are two really different.
Major difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all solution.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to figure out what the solutions are, what the mm-hmm. potential solutions are, again, it's about getting people together in a room,
mm-hmm.
all the stakeholders in a room, not coming to the table with coming to the table with openness.
Mm-hmm.
Like I care about solving this problem
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to be rigid
mm-hmm.
because we're all here to accomplish this one thing.
Yeah.
And There are money issues for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It does cost money to have social programs and all of that. But I want to make sure that we're maximizing the resources that we already have.
Totally.
And that requires that communication again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Jane?
Nope. You're up, buddy. Okay. That was excellent. That was a great answer.
One of the things that I wanted to touch on in regards to that part of the conversation was I don't know. I can't remember if we were having this conversation about kind of like the old guard in city politics. Yeah, totally. They would just throw up their signs and then that was it.
You knew that who was going in the minute that the whole election started. And you're just like, yeah, okay, just another year of the same old crap.
Right? Yeah. And it's funny because you would go, I remember going to my grandparents and they'd have chat TV on it, talking to some old guy about city council. It'd be like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, but one of the things that I thought was so incredibly important is you're part of a group of females specifically who are going boots to the ground. You're getting out on Facebook and talking to people. You're getting out into the community and talking to people. I've seen you walk downtown at Station Coffee. I've seen you with Allison. You know, these are important things to do, because from my perspective, it's just like, okay, if I want to be involved with my community, how am I going to do that? I'm going to be involved with our community.
Yeah.
Shane and I have been every week for 2 or 3 nights a week. We sit down with men in our community and then we do fundraisers and events. We're out there. We see who is out there too.
Yeah.
And you don't see them. They sit behind a desk at their city council meetings and then you never see them again unless they're on the news. I appreciate what you're doing there, because from my perspective, that's how you educate people.
Yeah. It's a refreshing new take that, yes, you know, someone, it actually looks like someone gives a shit, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's so exciting even just to look at the diversity of the candidates. There's 32 council candidates. Mm-hmm. 5 for mayor. That says something. Like, that there is a combination probably of people being cheesed off, mm-hmm, that things are not going the way we want them to, but also it's really inspiring that this many people want to take time out of their lives,
mm-hmm,
to do something about it. That's incredible.
For you, for example, putting your career on hold for something that's really important to you, like that was unheard of, you know, 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So like, you're the kind of person that would affect change, along with the other people that are boots to the ground and actually trying to get to know their community, instead of, well, I know the community, I'll help them out, I know what's good for them, mm-hmm, instead of actually getting down and knowing what's going on.
Yeah. And one of the reasons why we're talking to a few people on the podcast is, one thing that I cannot stand about politics in general is the vague points, the vague talking points. It's like, we're going to talk about infrastructure, we're going to talk about the economy. And it's just like, oh, okay, what other keywords do you want to insert into this paragraph?
Because we're just going to grill you until we get what you want out of you.
But there's been several candidates that now we've had on the podcast that, you know, whether we agree with their whole platform or not, the social aspect and the mental health aspect is something that we need to talk about. But you have went above and beyond. You've done podcasts, you've done interviews, you did the Facebook Live events, where you're actually talking in detail about what needs to change. Was that part of your platform, to go into detail and actually give real expressions? And because this sounds like you've wanted to do this for a while. Was this calculated by any sort of imagination? Was this something you had planned and had written up, or what was it?
No, I probably hadn't planned, like months maybe.
Yeah. Right.
I think it just comes from, to a certain extent, my background. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's not actually, people who are on my social media will be frustrated because I don't, like, people, when you're a politician, they expect you to give like an off the cuff answer to everything.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't like giving answers unless I've researched it and I'm sure.
Well, right? That makes you a human being. I mean, that's intellectual.
That's something that I've really learned to appreciate about people is, if you don't know, say you don't know, instead of giving me a bull crap answer that gives me no substance or a real answer. You just talk me in circles where you know, you confuse the public or whatever it might be, but you didn't actually provide a real answer because you didn't know, but you're good at manipulating the conversation.
Yeah, buzzword.
That's right.
Yeah, 100%. And one of the things that I cannot stand, and what I love about podcasts, is you get to actually listen to a conversation, mm-hmm, listen to the thought process. And you know, when you're sitting up there in a debate or you're on the news, it's got to be quick. It's 30 seconds soundbite, and then you don't really get to the point. And here you can sit there and digest a question and take your time to answer it and think about it as you're talking. And that's okay. That's okay. And think about it as you're talking. So, you know, one of the things that you said, it's about prioritizing what's important for the community. We need to create a wealthy city, which includes business and jobs for me. But for me also means creating a community oriented city. How do we bridge those two together with individuals of the community and the businesses working together to create a more robust, strong, wealthy community?
So you're going to get sick of me saying this, but those two things are interrelated. Like everything about a good community, a good economy, like your livable communities, they're all interrelated because if you want to have a robust economy, you need people to want to live here. Mm-hmm. You need businesses to want to set up shop here. Mm-hmm. And part of that is having like an affordable community for sure. Mm-hmm. But it is also the resources that you have and the atmosphere of your community. Mm-hmm. So like if you look downtown, for example, mm-hmm. no skateboarding allowed. Mm-hmm. That precludes an entire group of mostly young people.
A very large
group. It yeah. ticks me off when I see a kid walking down the street holding a skateboard because he'll get a ticket. It is just, it infuriates me.
Yeah.
It's for like reason.
A $50 ticket or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And absolutely, we don't want people like shoving toddlers mm-hmm. off the street. Right. And like people have to be respectful, but they share that skate park just fine.
Yeah.
Like there's an etiquette to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sure even within themselves, they would like that group of skateboarders, they would police the bad apples who are making skateboarders.
They already do. We've worked with the Medicine Hat Skateboard Association, and these are fantastic kids. Like,
yeah, they created an organization. Like, there's a sense of belonging in these situations now. Like, I actually have a few people on my caseload that are their life. I've seen a drastic change in their life by joining this association.
Oh, it's incredible. Isn't that such a great example
yeah.
of what you can do when you get some people working together towards like, and if they just don't do skateboarding, mm-hmm. they have causes that yeah. they contribute back to our community and to yeah. other communities.
Totally. Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. For the people that don't know. Yeah. The Skateboard Association, they're not just a bunch of people that skate around all the time. Like they are actively involved in the community. They're doing volunteer work. They're, you know, they're cleaning streets. They're doing whatever they can. Like they're
involved with the church. They're entrepreneurs.
That's right. Yeah, like it's just a building block to adulthood for a lot of these people, a lot of these kids.
And the board members, like I love using their brand and their organization as an example, is because what they've done is they've also cultivated relationships and mentorships between adults and the younger youth. Yeah. Right. And so what you see is these board members who are anywhere from 20 to 45 years old, and working with the church, entrepreneurs, and they're teaching these kids better habits and, you know, stay out of trouble and do this and do that. And so you're right, because now what you're seeing, and we'll go back to what you said, a robust community. You know, there's several guys on that board and our board who are entrepreneurs that work, you know, boots on the ground in the Sims. You know, you work for the government. I run my own business. We do these things to help create more economy within the city. And then we run the Interman Project, where we try and help the men in our city.
Yeah.
Right. So that's, it works hand in hand.
And the biggest part that we've noticed, and like, it's been more prevalent when you actually have your eyes open, once you first see it, is, you know, once you help someone out of their own dark times or their, you know, financial struggles or whatever it might be, whatever social, economic, status they are, once they're out of their funk and they're starting to feel better about those, they're turning around helping whoever needs it. Mm-hmm. So, and that doesn't just go for the Interman Project, that goes for the Skateboard Association, that goes for McMahon, the Youth Center, that goes for pretty much every organization that's, you know, helping people struggle. Mm-hmm. That it all comes in turn and everyone tries to help each other at the end. And that's how you build community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other cool thing about it is, one aspect of a healthy economy mm-hmm. is entrepreneurship. We need to be encouraging entrepreneurs. Like, so you can start small and then you get bigger and bigger. One barrier to entrepreneurship is not knowing how to do it.
Yeah.
Like I have this really great idea. Now what do I do?
It's scary.
Yeah. But if you have clubs like, you know, a skateboard association where you have all of these different types of people mm-hmm. there, and like same with your board, you can connect with people who mm-hmm. have already done it and who are willing to help. And this community is really good for that.
It really is. It
really is. I've met when I moved back home in 2018 with my practice, that was one of the things I thought I was going to struggle with, because it is so small. When you're up in Calgary and you're just working downtown, you're just like every other office junkie, right? Mm-hmm. Just put on your tie and go to work and that's it. And here you have to actually build relationships. You have to build the network and get to know people. And what I noticed was like, there's certain individuals in our city that quote unquote have power and have money and they're kind and they're human beings. Like they have a pulse and everything like that. And so that was heartwarming for me. But I just found like as time went on and COVID really exacerbated this was the difference between the low income and then the higher middle class was the talking points from city officials. It seemed like, you know, people wanted this and then the people in the lower income communities wanted this. And there was no conversations to be had. And with social media, it's easy to slap a label on somebody and tell them the FO, right? Yeah.
There is line in the sand was drawn and basically you're on this side or you're on that side and you're not welcome on the other side after.
Yeah, but going back to the downtown community, all of our community, who doesn't benefit if all of our community is doing well?
Totally. Right.
So it's not, we should all want that. Mm-hmm.
That should be the collective goal.
Yeah, you want to win. If you look at it like from a sports perspective, you want your whole team to win, you know, you don't want somebody sitting on the sidelines. You just feel bad for them. You know what I mean? So,
or if they're like, to go on with the hockey analogy, mm-hmm. if they're a puck hog, mm-hmm. that's not helpful to winning.
No.
If they're, you know, the one that can't skate very well, mm-hmm. then you have to help them learn how to skate because if they can't skate, you can't win.
Yeah. And the people complaining on the sidelines who aren't actually pitching it at all, that's not helping either, right? Yeah, yeah, that's a good, I like that because I look at our communities as a team. I look at it as if we're struggling, we need to help each other. That's why we started the IMP, right? And
what is the IMP?
The Inner Man Project.
Yeah, there it is.
that's okay. That's why we started the IMP. That's why we started a community group for men. And what it started with was for mental health and to talk about suicide and addiction and something that neither of us expected in terms of men being advocacies for their families and their community and getting out and volunteering. And now we're seeing men, I mean, the second we post an event, there's men lining up to volunteer and do what they need to do. So,
I feel like we're almost pulling away, not that we're pulling away from mental health. We're still actively involved in that, but we're kind of evolving more into a mentorship program. It's like, okay, we're identifying where men are struggling, but you know, just being there and having a place to talk isn't enough. How can we teach them to stand on their own two feet? Mm-hmm. Like that's where we've been transitioning kind of our thought process lately is just like, okay, so you're struggling with this X, Y, Z. How can we make you do that so you're successful in that area so the rest of your life can fall into place?
Right. Because
that's what's holding you back right now is this certain thing. Mm-hmm. And you have no idea how to handle it.
Right. And we're trying to teach these men to be leaders within their own life, leaders within their families, and leaders within the community. And to learn how to open their mind and think about inclusiveness and think about diversity and think about all these different aspects that come with the community instead of being trapped in their echo chambers on Facebook or social media and in their mundane lives where they can't seem to even Google search for help. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like there are people reaching out to us, like using their tiny handheld computer, reaching out to us like, hey, I need help. Where's a resource? It's like, just Google.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's Google. Yeah. It's mess and hat. It's not that big. Yeah. Of course we're going to help you, but and stuff like that, but it's like, they're in such a, you know, such a rut or such a tough place. They can't even think for themselves to get that far.
Yeah.
I think that when you're in like social services and connected with it, it's easy to know what you're even like. I think some people don't even know what to Google.
And that's a problem. Like
I need help.
Yeah.
Medicine Hat.
And that's a huge problem. The fact that like, cause there are loads of resources in the city, but they're they're overutilized, unfortunately. And they're, you know, the wait times are a little bit longer, but they're not really being spotlighted anywhere.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know what I mean? Like I could probably rattle off 5 resources that both of you have never heard mm-hmm. before in your life.
Totally.
And that's an issue mm-hmm. for my job. I need to know this, but I feel the whole community needs to know everything that's available to mm-hmm. them. So, you know, it's just a quick phone call. Like, hey, I'm struggling with this. Like, let's get this dealt with. Mm-hmm. But like, that literally anything you can think of, there's a resource for it in the city. Mm-hmm. It's small, it's unnoticed, but it's there. I promise you it's there.
Totally.
Yeah. And that's problematic for a couple of reasons, in addition to probably a million others. But
of course. Yeah. We're solving the world's problems today.
So take a look at what you guys are doing and how transferable that program is mm-hmm. to so many other groups of people, mm-hmm. like that mentorship, even for people like who, you know, don't know that they're struggling. Sometimes people, you know, you have to have conversations that teach you skills, and then you realize like, oh man, I didn't even know I was doing that wrong before. So having those conversations, and I think the way you guys are doing it, you're mentoring, and it's contagious because mm-hmm. then those people can mentor other people, and it grows. And so when people don't know what the services are available, not only do they not get help, but they can't be a helper.
That's right.
You know, when we get more people involved in these community groups, more mm-hmm. people will be involved in the
same 100%. Groups,
you know,
mm-hmm. yep. That's a great point. One of the things that we did with the Inner Architect was a personal development program. It was 16 weeks. It was 8 workshops done by 8 different professionals in their field. This gentleman over here did the resume and interview. I did finance. One of the things that I noticed about our two groups was, you know, everybody learns how to do a resume in high school. And most of these guys learn poorly,
very poorly. And holy smokes, very poorly.
What I noticed is, so there was one individual in particular, I won't say his name, but he took it seriously and he went home and redid his resume. And he sent me his resume, looked amazing, fantastic, bravo, looks straight off the internet. If you want to Google one, that's the one.
Yeah.
And about 2 weeks ago, another gentleman sent me their resume, and it was basically just typed out on Microsoft.
Like a child did it.
Yeah. To be fair, yeah, it was. He didn't learn a whole bunch from our group, no. But I gave him the advice that I gave the other gentleman, and I actually told him you need to go talk to, you know, Steve. Because Steve actually, he did everything that we asked him and his looks amazing. And now Steve's able to help him with his resume and help other people. And there was another individual with the finance one. I taught, it's a very easy way to Google it, but the Dave Ramsey snowball effect with their debt. And I taught him how to do the debt snowball. And now he's helping his family and his kids get out of debt. And I'm like, that's that, you know, that ripple effect,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when I look at community programs, and we have conversations like these, what you're doing with your platform, what we're doing with our platform, what we're doing on the podcast tonight, when somebody listens to this, they're going to say, hey, Lindsay said X, Y, and Z. And that's actually a really good point, and we need to implement that. And that's, I think, the reason why podcasts are so important. That's why I think that your platform is so important. This is, you know, from my perspective, I see your signs everywhere in my area,
yeah,
but I love seeing that because for once, I feel like there's one competition within city council. Healthy competition is perfect for every environment, in my opinion.
Agreed.
If you have healthy competition, you're going to see the best of people and the worst of people. And the people that succeed should be the ones there. The second thing I'll say is the diversity within city council. We have young people. We have old people. We have people of different ethnic backgrounds. We have women. We have males. We have everyone involved. And I love that about our community. And I was saying to my father a couple of weeks ago, I would love to just pick the most conservative and the most liberal. I would love to pick a female and a male, and I would love to take two different ethnic and just put them all together. And that's what a community is, right? When you really think about
a voice for every
absolutely aspect. Absolutely. And instead of getting these votes where it's 8-0 or 9-0, and it's like, geez Louise, nothing's really.
Yeah. You never have to defend your position.
Right.
How do you know if you, position is good if you don't have to defend it,
right? The wall, and think about it, there's just an echo chamber.
Well, and think about our first experience that we had, our last board meeting,
first time we've ever had it,
the first time, like, so we've all collectively have the same thought process for the most part anyway, and we do all of our voting in for everything that we do, obviously that's part of our non-for-profit, and this was the first time ever that we actually were split down the middle, mm-hmm. ever, mm-hmm. and we had a very healthy, constructive conversation. Everyone's feelings were left intact. Everyone, you know, had a good talking point, mm-hmm. and the resolve was, some people, you know, had a different opinion, but they accepted the resolve of what it was. And because we were able to have those conversations
right
in the correct way.
Yeah. And what I'll say about that experience was it was great because from, you know, sometimes you get stuck in your thought process.
Yeah.
And what happened that night was, it was simply two things I think Shane said, and he's just like, look at it from this perspective. And I was like, oh, okay. And that was it. It was the
someone
end of
else's perspective.
Yeah. And it was the end of the conversation. I was like, yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And so
having a group of men with open-mindedness is like any
few and far between.
No. Having, you're not wrong, but having a group of people in general with open-mindedness is few and far between.
I would love to see a vote split down the middle at city council. That would be amazing, because then we're seeing, okay, so what is the problem? How can we solve it? Yeah. We have to come together on this. How can this be resolved?
Now, like, we have to think.
Hey.
Yeah. Well, the people I'm talking to that are council candidates, mm-hmm. there's loads of good ones I communicate with, and they're saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. There's people who have different backgrounds than me. Maybe mm-hmm. they have different political views than me. Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just hungry for diversity of opinions,
change,
and healthy conversation about it instead of canceling each other just because we have different opinions. Yeah. I never understood that. That's the first time in my life. I always thought, you know, when we got into fights at school, you'd have a fist fight and that'd be it, you know, and then you got older and if people made fun of you, you're like, I'll just go hang out with these guys instead, you know. Yeah. That's the way life should be. It's like, we don't have to like your opinion, but we'll respect it because that's what being a respectable human being is. And when you have that diversity and you can have these conversations, and I think the men who listen, because it's 93% men listeners, so the males who are listening, it's important to have healthy debate and healthy disagreements, because that's how you grow, right?
Yeah, we have a saying here, get comfortable being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So the whole basis behind that is basically having an open mind, doing things that are out of your comfort level, that's, you know, could help someone else or your family or whatever it may be.
Or just your personal development.
Your personal development. Like, there's just so many great aspects with going, doing stuff, that pushing yourself out of your own comfort zone. And this is exactly the scenario that we would talk about, mm-hmm. is letting someone that has a differing opinion mm-hmm. openly talk about it and change your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you had the open mind, you're like, oh, that's a better idea than what I had, instead of thinking, well, that's my idea and this is the only right idea.
Right.
No, you said something great and I like mm-hmm. that. Let's go off that. Let's roll off that. My idea sucks now. Get it out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know what I mean? Like, just having that open mindedness and being able to have those open conversations with everyone, it's so important.
Well, true leadership is checking your ego at the door when it comes to city council, right? You were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to add to that, like, how much easier it is to be vulnerable and to ask for help and be open when you're around people that are also open and vulnerable and ask for help. Mm-hmm. So it would be great if more people could live those values. Mm-hmm. I think to a certain extent, we're never taught how to properly communicate. Like we were kind of talking about before, how do you learn? Where do you learn to be a parent? Where do you learn to communicate? Mm-hmm. It's not common sense. Nope. I mean, in a way, once you know it, you're like, okay, yeah, that's common sense. Try and understand what the other person is saying before you try and be mm-hmm. understood. But it's
read the room, that sort of thing.
Yeah. But like, I've done quite a few. It's called like conflict resolution, or it's all about this, having good conversations where and the focus of it is that when we come up with a conflict, my whole goal is to understand you. Mm-hmm. And then once I've asked you questions and I feel like I truly understand where you're coming from, mm-hmm. then you try and understand where I'm coming from.
Right.
It's as simple as that. And it's magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go
on.
I was going to say, everyone has a voice. Not everyone has a voice. Everyone can say a conversation, but an actual voice where it's heard and understood is huge difference.
So what advice would you give to somebody when it comes to that conflict resolution? How can somebody learn that? Is that something that is just you're born with it? Do you learn it over time? Does it, from your experience, how does one learn to deal with conflict resolution or approach things with an open mind?
Yeah, I'm kind of naturally curious. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's innate a little bit, but being genuinely curious about other people and their perspectives mm-hmm. is very helpful.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're not, fake it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like
fake it till you make it.
Yeah. Keep asking those questions.
Yeah.
like force yourself not to say what you think until you understand what they think.
Yeah. It's a little bit of both, in my opinion. It is a learned skill. If I'm going back to when I'm 18 years old, you know, no one could tell me anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We were barely making sentences at 18.
Right. Yeah. We were infants, but like when you mature over the years, obviously that comes with maturity, not in all every case though. But at the end of the day, you do these things to, if you want to, if you're willing to grow, if you're willing to, you know, want to heighten basically every aspect of your life, you have to have that open mind. And like you said, you just got to make yourself do it. And I have done that myself. I've literally made myself to say, shut up and listen.
Yeah. Well, Lindsay, you said it, curious.
Yeah.
Curiosity. Like how can I better myself to understand this conversation?
Right? And if I'm being honest, I hated it from the start. Cause I was like, I'm just like tapping my foot. I was like, I got to get what I have on my head off out of my mouth here. And we need to have this conversation.
Right
now. It's like, I'm the last person to talk and I enjoy that. I'm just like, okay, let's have everyone have their say and let's have that open dialogue and let's go now. So now that I know how you feel and how you feel and how you feel, why don't you guys talk now?
Yeah,
exactly. I do have to confess something though. Sometimes I am still the person like tapping my foot, like I have an opinion.
I think that happens. That comes with the territory for sure. But but as a general, that's
yeah, and especially like in certain conversations, right?
Yeah.
If you're like debating with your sister,
yeah,
go at it a little.
If I'm talking about hockey, if I'm talking about hockey with my friends, I'm like, your opinions are all terrible.
They all suck.
Yeah, that's right.
Lindsay, you had some questions that you said that you wanted to ask us. So what's going on?
Well, you were telling me a little bit before about a new program that you're going to be running here.
Yes.
And I just wanted to know how you got started with that, a little bit about the project and how a person or like a group like yours gets something like that started.
Wow, that's loaded. Here we go. So what you're talking about is intergenerational trauma treatment model.
Yeah.
It's a mouthful. Yeah. So this happened kind of in happenstance. I actually, my partner in this, along with Innerman, is Renee Kemp. I work with her. And she approached me because she knows that I'm a part of this program. And she was like, we would be a great dynamic. We'd be a great team because she recognized me as a work person. I'm a certain way at work and she's a certain person at work. And we just kind of mesh well. So like we feed off each other well. So that was the whole idea of us kind of getting together on this program. And she learned this about 10 years ago. She actually completed this program, but
program's 20 years old though.
Program's 20 years old, evidence-based. It's evidence-based out of Ontario. She completed it 10 years ago and she just re-upped it with me just recently here. We're looking to pilot over the Western Canada here. So we're not just okay with Medicine Hat area. We want to go to, the whole idea is for us to go to BC and Saskatchewan and maybe linger a little bit in Manitoba as well. So we want to travel across and, you know, and bring the Innerman with us. Mm-hmm. So essentially the whole plan is for the Innerman to grow with ITTM across the country. That's what our main goal is, along with all of our other programs, of course. And when she approached me about this program and told me about it, I was immediately excited. It was something, obviously I work with youth myself too. So just two sentences in, I was just like, yep, doing it. It wasn't even a conversation because I was like, this can help.
Say another word, right?
That's right. it was something that spoke to me. It was something that like we spoke off air. I was like, not that I've had some major crazy traumas in my life, but it's helped me learn a lot about myself. It's helped me learn a lot about being a parent. It's learned a lot of, you know, stuff that I had in the past that's unresolved, that and how important it is to resolve those issues to grow forward. So to basically the whole idea behind it is when you're digging a hole, that's called the trauma. And basically when you're healing yourself, you're patching that hole. So you're patching the holes of trauma throughout your life. So you can basically keep that steady ground for the rest of it. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole idea behind that. So we're really excited to roll this out for our peers this first time around, which is starting next week. But so unfortunately we're not rolling it out to the public until around January.
Yep.
But it's not that long and we're super excited. The whole reason behind this is we just want to put out the best product possible for our community. So, we want to pilot it a bit and just tweak some things. So Yeah, we're really, really excited. And I think it's going to make a major, major impact on this community.
That's awesome. And I don't want to sound like I have a one-track mind, but I think when you're talking about going out to other communities and bringing the Inner Man, which is a Medicine Hat solution,
yes,
to those other communities, that reflects well on us.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is going to come as a shock to you, but some people don't want to move here because they kind of view us as this like redneck town.
For sure they do. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a bad way of saying it. That's the perfect way to say
That's
it.
That's all I've heard my entire life. I'm from Medicine Albert. Oh, you're redneck.
There was a commercial in Calgary that said Medicine Hat was good enough to fill gas and get a Big Mac on the way to Saskatchewan. Like, that was the joke in Calgary. Yeah. So like, yeah, when we think of the Inner Man, we think of like, okay, how can we build on this community, give this community a good name and say like, hey, like this important thing that we're doing now, it's in Calgary too. We do this in Calgary. How can this important group, organization, it's one, it's important. Two, how did this start in a small town like this? Like, are we totally off on Medicine Hat? Like, did we think of this little hick town as something completely we were so wrong about? Like, what is it, right? So,
and I think that is the case. Mm-hmm. I think our bark is worse than our bite. Not that
100%.
Not that we don't have, you know, problems in Medicine Hat, mm-hmm. but I've got a little red on my neck.
Of and course.
Mm-hmm. I also have a real heart for social causes and mm-hmm. and I want our community to be strong, but those are rural values, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, they are.
So that's what we have to build on. That's what we are.
Mm-hmm.
We just kind of have to shine it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. I believe that 100%.
And that's, you know, that is a goal of ours. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to make sure that we're perfect for our community first before we do branch out. Mm-hmm. And then that's, you know, give our small town of Medicine Hat a good name, mm-hmm. you know, a great name and just grow a legacy of, hey, this, you know, major thing, hopefully is, you know, our grand visions are mm-hmm. this huge organization started in the small town of Medicine Hat.
Absolutely.
With two guys with an idea.
Yeah. And some microphones.
Yeah, sorry. three. His wife is very much involved in this too.
Yeah. She's one of the dudes.
Yeah, she's one of the dudes. Yeah.
No, she's been great.
Just one more question, if sure. you don't mind.
Yeah.
So how do you guys, we were talking a little bit about the collaboration between community groups
mm-hmm.
and how have you guys experienced that? Is that something that you feel is done well here? And what do you think the city could do to contribute to that?
So, we've had mixed feelings, we'll say.
Yeah.
We've been able to work with some partnerships. We're not going to name names or anything like that.
Of course.
But we are in a small town, and the way that we see it, we came in maybe naive, thinking that everyone would want to work with us.
We were naive.
Thinking everyone would want to work with us because we wanted to work with them.
Right.
But it appeared, and I don't want to sound so bleak about this because it's not completely this, but we were kind of viewed as competition for money.
Yep.
Is the best way to say it. So I don't want to say,
well, that's what they're teaching. I want to stop you there because that's what actually they're teaching in medicine, or at the Medicine Hat College.
Yeah.
That's what they're teaching in social work with organizations like this, is you end up being competition
yeah.
with other organizations.
Yeah.
And we had no idea that's the way the nonprofit world worked. And yeah, you're absolutely right. We were 100% naive.
Yeah, and we're really trying to break through those barriers because we really do think it is a collective. You know, we need to collectively work together to reach the common goal of, you know, stable mental health for the community.
Right.
But and I think we can get there. It's just a matter of, you know, like we need to get away from the ideas of like, well, you're just competition. Or you're not a real clinician. You're not this. You're not that. It's like, but we're all here for the same. The same collective idea.
Yeah. And my biggest thing is it's like when we started working with, there was several different quote unquote coalitions and organizations going on. We found that working with the youth was a big aspect for us because they actually needed help and nobody was really helping. So we went out and we helped with Red Cliff Youth Center. We've helped with Medicine Skateboard Association. When it came to other organizations or projects here in Medicine Hat, one thing that I noticed was it was a very much small town who you know.
Yeah.
And it drove me crazy. I understand it, but it drove me crazy because the goal should be truly helping people. And so when there's
And let's face it, the government has given out hundreds of thousands of dollars. The Community Foundation has given out hundreds of thousands of dollars to organizations. And you go on social media and they and people are asking them, where's the money going? So we made it our number one priority to always be transparent with our funds, because while we are a nonprofit, you have to be.
No, well, you should be. You should be.
And the second thing is we wanted that trust in the community.
Yeah.
We don't want people going to our Facebook and seeing comments like that on our Facebook.
Yeah, you guys are. And we actually get the perception. We have people reach out to us like, oh, you're just a bunch of rich people that are making money off this. We haven't collected a dime, mm-hmm. not one penny. Mm-hmm. from this whole entire thing. Everything that we've earned, every grant that we landed, any in-kind contribution has went directly into our center and helping our men and developing new programs.
Yeah. Right now we're trying to raise money for next year just to keep the lights on.
Yeah. So. Right now we can't keep our lights on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where we're at, but we're going to do it. We're going to make it work because it's so important.
Yeah. I certainly hope so. And I do believe that eventually, you know, you guys will be able to integrate more fully into the nonprofit community, but it is a fact mm-hmm. that there are limited dollars.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So even though, you know, we all want to work together, that reality does have to be addressed somehow. And I
think the reality comes down to transparency. Mm-hmm. Just like you said with city council, if taxpayers' dollars are going somewhere, we should know where they're going.
Yeah.
And so that's the reality of it comes down to where's the funds going. I have no problem with money going to something that actually helps our community, puts programs, puts food on the table like the food bank does. You know, McMahon next door, they actually have programs to help with youth. They have the shelter.
Bridges is fantastic. Bridges
is fantastic. So there's community resources out there that are very, very important. And I have no problem, you know, signing my check over to them. Certain organizations, they don't do that transparency thing. So it's hard for me to get on board, just like with you saying about that about city council. Yeah, I agree fully. I think that city council and where we put our tax dollars should be 100% transparent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to build on that though, we should want that transparency.
Yes.
And it's not about, you know, calling people out. Mm-hmm. It's about building a culture where that's just natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just how we are. We are transparent. Mm-hmm. And it is really, like at the city too, it's a cultural thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think as the younger generations come up, mm-hmm. having lived their life online, mm-hmm. it's going to be easier.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that statement. So full. My son the other day, one of the coaches on his football team literally said, less chatting, more working. And my son looks at the guys on the field, his teammates, and he says the exact same thing. And I said, if you want to be a real leader, you lead by example. Mm-hmm. You become the role model. And we've said that since day one. If we say that to our men, if you want to change your life, be the change that you want to see in your life. And we saw that we needed a change for the men in our community. And that's all we did, was we just decided to start being the change that men needed. Right.
Yeah.
So, and the same thing can be done with city council. The same thing can be done with community organizations. If you want to start seeing the change, just be the change. Right.
Yeah. And I think one thing the city can contribute to as well is a gap analysis. Mm-hmm. So economic gap analysis, community gap analysis, a workforce gap analysis. It's just, okay, so we have all of these things. Mm-hmm. Where are the gaps?
Right.
How do we fill them?
And just addressing them, right? Yeah. Just being aware of it, right?
Yeah. And then maybe a community organization like yours can mm-hmm. say like, whoa, we could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you grow that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess to not be so bleak, there are some amazing non-for-profits that we are a part of and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And we're hoping that will actually partner with us with ITTM
mm-hmm.
Just to grow it more or less, just to get more people involved.
Just the traction of it, right?
Just the traction of it. Like, because we want as many people as possible to be a part of this. And we want to make it either A, affordable, or B, free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that, you know, we have free healthcare. You know, you break an arm, you break a leg, you just go in, you get it fixed. The same should be the same for mental health. Mental health shouldn't have to be paid for. And don't get me wrong, for the clinicians and all the people that did the higher education, all that stuff, they are very well trained. They're very well versed. Obviously, you know, they have to make a living too. And, you know, there's a lot of people outside of our realm, obviously, that we are unable to help. Mm-hmm. And that's what these individuals are used for their training. So we're kind of on different levels. We're more on the surface level of men that are just struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we have true mental illness, like that's just something that we can maybe help on a surface level. But at the end of the day, we're just a referral agent.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you think about it in the context of our overall healthcare system, mm-hmm. what if we do the math on helping children to be resilient, making sure that if someone experiences a trauma in their life, if they have the resources that they need to deal with it, mm-hmm. how many costs are we preventing
in the future? Thousands, hundreds of thousands.
And
per kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that person is probably going to be a better parent. Mm-hmm. They're going to be a better spouse. Mm-hmm. They're going to be a better community member. Mm-hmm. Like, that's invaluable.
Everything you just said is, have you ever heard of the book, The Boy Crisis?
No.
By Dr. Warren Farrell. Amazing book. It's 400 pages of just brilliance. It's talking about every negative statistic in the world involves boys without dads being in their life. And so one of the things that you're touching on is, you know, creating an environment where people are succeeding. Right. And so if you have a young kid who's not succeeding with parental advice, guidance, proper love, proper care, nutrition, now they got traumas and they're dealing with their mental health and their physical health. They grow up to being those people who are vulnerable within our society, addicts, drug users. They end up being homeless. It's every statistic that you're talking about in this book was talking about boys, but the same can be said about just children in general.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that what you're saying is probably one of the most important things that we're talking about tonight.
Well, and just to kind of go off of what you said, one of the main things that I learned through ITTM is it doesn't have to be a parent. That it just has to be a caregiver. It has to be someone who cares. It can be a coach. It can be a teacher. It can be a mentor. It can be a stranger. It can be a friend's kid, a friend's parents. Mm-hmm. As long as you have, you know, those
unconditional love
in any way you can find it. That's what is going to get a child through their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as long as they can find, you know, that unconditional love, doesn't have to be directly from a parent, but a caregiver in any way, shape or form, that person can succeed.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So for
someone that values you.
Right. Mm-hmm. So for the single parents out there that are listening, it's not over just because you're by yourself mm-hmm. with your kids. They're not going to be, you know, messed up or whatever feelings you might have. It all can be changed, but you just got to put the right people in their life. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. That's the biggest point of this whole entire thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like we were talking about before, sometimes it's the smallest thing. It's how you receive the trauma.
The impact.
Yeah, the impact of the trauma. So I'm a big believer that we could all benefit from mental health help. Mm-hmm. And it should be universal. Not only does that remove the stigma, mm-hmm. if everyone's just kind of on board.
Yeah.
But we can all benefit from it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Totally.
And like, honestly, how many barriers have we broken through with men that you would never think would talk about their mental health?
It's wild to me.
Like
we it still humbles me to this day.
Big, burly, you know, oil field guys that would tell you to F off as soon as you walked in the door, but then they sit down and you just change their perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's and we see it every weekend, every Sunday.
Vulnerability breeds vulnerability.
Exactly. So like what we're doing and what every mental health, you know, system that we've seen that is trying to make that change is the change mm-hmm. that is what's going to affect the stigma. Like, and if we can attack in a good way, I guess.
Address?
I should say
address.
Yes,
that's a better word.
I'm very brash and I'm very aggressive, but yes,
if we have a lawyer here to correct you. Yes,
right. If we can address you know, these individuals that you would never think even approach about this scenario, because well, one, they might tell you to FO, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, they will, but they always come back.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's behind that persona, behind that is someone that's hurt, someone that's had pain, someone that's struggling with something.
The best thing that I like to see in our groups is like, we'll have like 10 or 11 guys in the group and one guy tell his situation. He really thinks that he's alone in it. Like he's the only one that's ever experienced it. He's the only one that struggled with it. And then you give him advice and he kind of looks like he's ready to leave. And then three or four other guys said the exact same thing. And all of a sudden it's just like his walls just fall down.
I'll share my own experience just to kind of really hammer home that point. So most of my traumas, like I mentioned to you, are through work experience, through my work for my work stuff. Mm-hmm. We tried to run a first responders night here. You know, the resources in the city, you know, they have their own resources. So they don't really want to branch out. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. Smaller city, we understand. But, you know, I struggle with my own stuff. Mm-hmm. So I created this. And I wanted to do it. A lot of it was for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I help a lot of people in the general public, and I'm just like, I'm a lot of like someone like Dylan and a lot of people that struggle with the same thing that you went through. Mm-hmm. You got a lot out of it. Yep. A lot of other people got a lot of it, but I couldn't relate other than just, you know, facilitate and ask questions and open that spot. We went to Calgary with,
I think there was like six first responders.
There were six first responders. Four of them were correctional officers. One was a parole officer who was a correctional officer,
a police officer.
Yeah. And, it just felt like home to me. And like the floodgates were open, mm-hmm. and it was just like, I was talking my stuff and they're just looking at me. They're like, oh yeah, that happened to me yesterday. And I'm like,
oh yeah.
Good. Yeah. I'm like, what? Like, and it, like, cause I never felt, I seen people have their breakthroughs and stuff. And I'm just like, man, I need that. I need mm-hmm. something like that. And that was it for me.
Yeah. And I noticed that when it comes to stuff like PTSD and trauma, severe depression, there's a big, you see it in men's faces, someone who's suffering from a circumstantial issue.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't suffer from depression or anxiety, but you know, they're just on hard times with a bad breakup or a financial issue. That's one thing that we noticed in that peer group that night. There was, you know, probably six or seven guys who had extreme PTSD, and then three or four guys that just were like going through job transitions and a breakup, and their faces when these guys were telling the story was like, oh boy, like this is a lot. And then that's also when we realized that we needed to separate the groups too. And we needed to keep everything kind of like, my Sunday groups were specifically for just regular men. And then the Wednesday groups for regular men,
general population,
regular men. I
was gonna, we'll correct you now.
I was gonna say regular men. And then these, you know, these almost hero type characters from the first responders world, right? So we have the EMS, firemen. Yeah. We wanted to bridge out and make sure that they had their own space to talk about
it. And I can tell you, if that was the mentality, like if like this is a heroes group, no one would show up to that. Mm-hmm. No one would. No, none of us. Not one first responder I've ever talked to thinks of themselves as a hero mm-hmm. in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they are.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They are. I view them as, mm-hmm. I view myself as, I put myself in harm's way to help other people.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen other people do it. I've seen people like, you know, I've saved someone's life and then have someone spit in my face next day.
Yeah.
Almost. But same. I would save that person's life again. Yeah.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So,
cause it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do. And a lot of people, you know, these, and it's almost like a mental block for a lot of these first responders. They're just like, you know, I'm not a hero. I'm just doing my job.
Yeah.
But you doing your job is being a hero. And that's, and it's hard. It almost hurts my ears saying it out loud, but once you say it more and once you kind of believe it, it's true.
Yeah.
It really is true. And I think a lot of these people, especially if you are listening and you do have a first responder background, think of yourself as a hero. Cause you are, because you're doing the stuff that no one else is willing to do.
Yeah, like absolutely. In a fire, everyone's running away.
And they're running.
And people are running in. Yeah. You know, yeah. Someone's life is about to end. EMS, you know, save someone's life.
What was crazy is when we had a few veterans come in, and I said, yo, thank you for your service. And they're just like, whoa, like, don't say that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just wild.
It's like a bad word.
Yeah.
Is it because it kind of became cliche, like that papers over the fact that we, you know, that they had to go fight in a terrible war?
I don't know. I can't really, like, I have a very good friend that has done several tours, and I've seen the change in him when he returned, and it was terrifying.
Yeah,
terrifying. Luckily he's worked past that, and he's went through a lot of trauma counseling, and he's on the better, on the other side of things, it seems like. He's still going to struggle probably for the rest of his life, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But he's still, you know, stable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the problem is someone will say, thank you for your service. And then they'll turn around and ask, how many lives have you taken?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
so it's almost like
like they're treating it like a video game.
Yeah. So it's almost like, we know as a population, we're desensitized from a lot of things just through social media.
That's the biggest thing of it, right?
And everything, but you don't realize that, you know, we see someone take someone's life on TV. We see that kind of stuff on a video game or, you know, even live on video, you've seen people actually die, mm-hmm. a real person die, mm-hmm. but to put yourself in someone else's shoes, it's mm-hmm. a totally different story. And that's just something that you're not going to ever be able to understand. And don't ever ask that, because you're not going to get the answer that you want. And you're not going to get an answer at all, first of all, but you might get smacked too with it. But
I mean, I think we're desensitized to certain things, but I don't think that what they're experiencing is like, you wouldn't be desensitized to that.
You
like
can't, you can't desensitize yourself from that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That is something that is true blue PTSD trauma that will be held with you forever.
Yeah. And right? And it's almost like, your thanks is not what I need.
And honestly, that's probably a good way to look at it. That's probably exactly it. It's like, I ruined my life. Mm-hmm. Essentially, and I hate to say it like that.
Sacrificed a lot.
Yes. I put myself in harm's way, and you know, for someone,
changed my entire being almost.
Exactly,
the whole psyche. Right.
Yeah, and a thank you just isn't enough.
Yeah,
and I can say that isn't enough for our military men and women.
Yeah, and as a and from a regular citizen, you're like, well, I don't know what else to say.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. Totally, like, I don't understand what you're going through, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not the same, right?
Yeah.
So, this has been a fantastic podcast. I like this.
We got all over the place on this one.
I like this conversation really at the end. This is really fun.
Well, I'm glad you had fun. I did too. Yeah. This is great.
Yeah, we've been going for over an hour and a half, so this is fantastic. Lindsay, is my thing is, if you could speak to every single citizen in Medicine Hat, what would you say right now? I know it's a loaded question, but if you had like a punchline, if a tagline, if you had a billboard that you could put up over the bridge over here, what would it say?
Vote for Lindsay.
Be kind to yourself and others is a big one. You know, a lot of this is like probably not what you mean by a tagline.
No, go for it.
Keep going on and on, but
write a book. It's all good.
Yeah. We're in a really tough situation right now, and things are so divisive. Like with COVID, things are divisive. This stuff on Facebook that's coming out now with the congressional hearings, the bleaker.
Yeah.
We're just so prone to find our camp and then kind of stay in it and view everybody else as something else.
Yeah.
And I want to get back to a place where we can communicate again. And I think being kind is almost too superficial for that. Like being open, I guess, as we were talking
open-mindedness,
about.
Open-mindedness, yeah.
Yeah. Find a way to be open again.
Respectful.
Yeah.
Right. It's just like, why can't we disagree and have a conversation about it and be kind to each other while doing it? You know, this guy taught me a very important thing that I've applied to my life since the moment he said it, was every single thing you need to say can be conveyed in the way you need to say it. It's like every message that you need to deliver, good, bad, ugly, doesn't matter. There's a way of saying it. There's a way of delivering it. Right. And I think that's all it comes down to. And I like the kindness thing because it, you know, some people call it cliche, but I'm all about the cliches. So
yeah, we're a podcast built on cliches.
Just motivation.
That's right. Yeah. Hang in there.
but also do please vote for me.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Where can they find you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram?
I'm just going to give my website address and then you can find my socials from
plug
there.
It into the show notes for you.
Yeah. Awesome. It's Clark for Mayor, Clark FOR MAYOR.CA.
I'm ignorant for the fact of Medicine Hat. Has there ever been a female mayor of Medicine Hat? Wow.
I'd be the first one.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah. Cool.
I hope everything comes to fruition for you.
Thank you. I think we're going to have some change for sure. And I anticipate that there will be several ladies on the council next term. So that's going to be different and awesome. Yeah.
No, I just appreciate you jumping on with us. And, you know, we tackled a whole lot of different topics tonight. All good, all relevant. I think you did an excellent job answering our questions. I'm kind of mean and I like to grill if I don't like what I hear. So whoever comes on going forward, didn't have to tonight. You know, you know what you're talking about, and that's what's important. So I can get on board with anyone, whether I agree with you or I don't, that's fine. But as long as you know, if you're looking out for the best interest of our community, I can get on board with you regardless if I agree with you. So I do appreciate that you are well-versed and you are aware of the you know, the broken systems are in our city. So I do appreciate the candor tonight and you coming on with us.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Vote for Lindsay.